It's a delight to be with you all today. It's a blessing, and just wish I could get to know each of you personally in some way or another. A number of you I do know, and I'm just grateful to have the privilege of knowing you. We appreciate you so much, and we thank you for inviting us here today. I want to just say something about Hap and George before we begin. Hap grew up in Sebring, Florida, ahead of me, but not too far. And he's a real Highlands County Sebring man, whom I admire and appreciate so much. And the older I get, I guess the more you all mean to me personally. Hap was actually what I call the inspiration for the book that we're going to deal with today, the story of the a Bible Fellowship Church. Probably all of you or some of you have a copy. There's some available. I'll let George talk to you about that. But Hap was the inspiration. I guess he came to George or to me or both of us at one time or another and said, "You need to write a book about Bible Fellowship Church." I hadn't really thought about it, but George came to me. Hap's the inspiration. George is the motivation. He comes to me and says, "We need to write a book about Bible Fellowship Church." I mean, just like that. I said, "Well, okay." Inspiration, motivation, information. As most of you know, I'm the founding pastor of Bible Fellowship Church and pastored here for 35 years and still active in ministry. I retired from full-time stress, but not from ministry. And so I get to serve the Lord with less stress than I used to have. And as we developed all this ministry from this building to that wing to that building over there, three building programs during my ministry here, that's another story in itself. And some of that's in the book itself. But I'm going to stop and let George take over and let him do his thing. He's really an information guy. I want you to know this about George, though. George has a doctorate degree. He's written at least 16 or 17 books. Am I close? Mm-hmm. And so he really knows what he's doing better than I. He was a professor at a theological seminary in Nigeria, Africa. Yeah. Is that correct, sir? Yeah,
perfect.
And he was on a music team. And there's a lot of things I know about him. I can't tell you all of them. By the way, Hap was a captive in the Navy. This man was also in the Navy. And you see him playing up front, right, on Sunday mornings, the acoustical guitar, sometimes electric guitar. But in his younger days, he was a rock and roller. High school and Navy, correct?
Yep,
there he is.
And university.
And university, he's admitting it, okay. He wasn't born again in those days, but got saved in Australia, the Outback, and Sydney, and you. That's another story in itself, but I'm just glad to call him my friend, as well as Hap. I feel close to these men, and it's a privilege to serve along with them. But he has written the books. I wrote my master's degree, and I wrote my doctorate degree. Neither one were published. They're probably not worthy of it. But anyway, they're on the shelf someplace in some seminary or whatever. But it was a privilege to work with George. He kept us on track and kept us motivated and kept us moving this whole time. And so I'm grateful to him. He deserves the honor in this. So George, here it is.
Thank you, Eugene, and thank you for the privilege of sharing with you today. My name is George Janvier. Any French speakers here? What does Janvier mean?
January.
It means January. So if you forget the Janvier, just think of me as George January. I love Bible Fellowship Church. I've been a member here since I moved to Sebring. I've been a member of Bible Fellowship Church for 5 years now, and I just love this church. I love the pastor and the pastors, and I love being an elder and being on the worship team and the missions team and discipling some guys, and it's just a wonderful place to serve and spend my energy. I really thank God for the privilege of being here at Bible Fellowship Church and being friends with Pastor Eugene. He's a wonderful man, just so people oriented and so loving and caring. And I just I'm so happy to be his friend. Before I came to Sebring, I spent 30 years in West Africa as a career missionary with SIM. And one of the privileges I had, one of the surprise things that the Lord gave me to do, that was to be a writer. After I finished my doctor's degree, I had a bit of skill in writing. And in teaching in a seminary in Africa, we didn't have a lot of relevant textbooks that were written for Africans. And so I started writing. And I wrote 15 books in Nigeria and 2 books here in the U.S. And I brought a couple along, just in case you think I'm making this up. I brought a couple of, here's a book I wrote called Biblical Preaching in Africa, a textbook for Christian preachers. Here's another one that I wrote called A Vision for Teaching. This one's for teachers on a higher level in seminaries and universities in Africa. And so I thank God for that privilege.
Let me make a comment on one of your books.
Sure.
Some years ago, when we were meeting in this room before we built the new church over here, we were quite crowded and we were growing. And someone came to me and said, "You need to do something about your music." Now, most of you, how many of you are over 80? Raise your hand.
I don't want to raise my hand.
Okay. Well, my next birthday I'll be 80. Okay, so I'm with you. And those of you who've been in the American culture all these years know the struggle of music, whether it's choir, whether it's worship, whether it's praise and worship, whether it's drums, whether it's a piano, whatever it is. We went through that transition. We were going through it while we were in this building. And I was in the middle of it because I was one encouraging the transition to move from. I used to pick the hymns, three hymns, hymn, praise, offering, hymn, and then you close with a hymn. I was involved in picking the hymns that went along with my message, but I knew that it was time not simply to do three hymns, but to really worship God. There's nothing wrong with three hymns. I grew up on the King James Version. Mm-hmm. And the three hymns and the offering, pass the offering. But was I going through a routine and a ritual, or was I really worshiping? And so in the process, we began to go to a more of a extended worship time. But it was very small, very insignificant. We were just moving in that direction. I was the one who said to a group of adults, "Would you meet with me after church so that we can form a worship team, and we're really going to worship. We're just not going to sing three hymns because we've got to do it. We're going to worship, and we're not going to entertain. We're not up there to entertain." I made that very plain to this worship team. I said, "Let's worship and not entertain, because you can get in the entertainment business. So can any preacher who preaches from the pulpit." I'm leading up to the fact that he wrote a book on music. He is a musician. He is a professor, he's a teacher, he's a writer, and he wrote a book on music pertaining to the African pastors. Isn't that correct?
African church.
African church. So I read that. They had the same problems we did.
That's right.
Same identical problems. When you're 80 years old or 75 years old, or you're a missionary coming off the field and you've been over there 30 years, you think when you come home to America that church is going to be the same when you left it 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
That's right.
I grew up when you saw the little board up in the front of the church that said, mm-hmm, three hymns, offering, and attendance last week. Remember those days? King James only. I'm sorry, but that's not where we are today. We're not. We're coming to a place where we're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday morning. And we pray for our worship leaders. We pray for our worship team. We pray for Jordan. We want these young people to lead us to the throne of grace where we worship God every single Sunday morning. And we can sing hymns. We can sing any worship songs. Well, take over, George.
Beautiful. That's a great word. Thanks a lot. Somehow, Hap Stevens found out that I was a writer. And he stopped me in church one day, and this is exactly what he said. He said, "George, we have no written history of Bible Fellowship Church. I will leave this with you." And I thought, well, thanks a lot. I spent one year praying about it, about the possibilities of writing a book about the church. And after a year, I thought, let's press ahead and let's do it. We had the advantage of having the original founding pastor of the church. So I bought a recorder, and we met five or six times in his beautiful home. And I just went through a long list of the history of this church. And I asked him a lot of questions about it. We had a decision to make. What to call the book? Do we call it The History of Bible Fellowship Church, or do we call it The Story of Bible Fellowship Church? That's two different types of books. Mm. If it was The History of Bible Fellowship Church, it would have a lot of facts and figures and data in there that on Tuesday night, April 10th, they met in Bobby Graham's home and they studied Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Well, we didn't think that would go down too well. So that's why we called it The Story of Bible Fellowship Church, because we wanted to present it in a story style rather than facts and figures. And that produced this book right here. I have if you'd like to buy one, I have some that are they're $7 on Amazon, and these are only $5 because we wrote the book and we get a discount being the authors. So if you would like one of these books, you can see me afterwards. Pastor Todd put out a call for people to write a brief story about what Bible Fellowship Church has meant to you. He did that two Sundays in a row. And we didn't get any response at all. I think a lot of people were afraid to write, to say, I don't want to write something, I'm afraid to write something that may end up in a book. So we didn't get any response from the members of Bible Fellowship Church to give us a story about what Bible Fellowship Church has meant to you. And so I had to take a different line. And so I contacted our four pastors all contributed to the book. Susan contributed to the book. Rachel contributed to the book. And then I thought, well, who else would be good to write about their relationship with the Bible Fellowship Church? And I then thought, the missionaries. So I wrote a letter to the missionaries and asked them, what has Bible Fellowship Church meant to you as a missionary? And I heard back from almost every single missionary in Bible Fellowship Church. That's for two reasons. Reason number one is missionaries tend to be writers. They write a lot of prayer letters and Sunday school materials and things like that. And secondly, we support them.
Amen.
So they might have felt, in order to keep the support rolling in, they better send something in to us. So we got some really wonderful stories from our missionaries. After we gathered all the data that we were going to put into the book, I wrote out the book pretty much in order, and then we had to edit it. And for every hour that I spent writing, I spent 2 hours editing. Just editing is a very difficult experience to get it right. You've got to get it just right, because people are going to read it. And if you leave any mistakes in there, if the commas aren't all in the right spot and the capitalizations aren't in the right spot, people will notice it. And it will detract from the quality, overall quality of the book. So we spent a lot of time editing. And then we printed it with Amazon. Amazon charges, if you're an Amazon Prime member, these are $7 a piece. If you're not an Amazon Prime member, they're over $8. But because we're the authors, they give them to us for $5. So that's, we didn't enter into this to make money. But we entered it to tell the story of Bible Fellowship Church. This year is the 50th anniversary of Bible Fellowship Church. So I feel that the book is right on time. If this was a marriage, we'd make it a big deal. If people get married, they're married for 50 years, you make a big deal out of it. And Bible Fellowship Church is 50 years old this year. And so I feel like the book is right on time. We have a book to go along with our 50th anniversary. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Shall I share some of the story of Bible Fellowship Church?
Yes, please.
Okay. There was a small group meeting in a home. There were nine. One was a missionary husband and wife, and another was a single missionary lady. I remember them well. Wonderful, wonderful SIM people. And I have a tremendous heart for missions and a tremendous heart for the SIM family and other missions organizations as well. But I've been on at least, been in 14 countries, and most of those doing some kind of missionary, short-term missionary work. It's been a total blessing to me. In this home was also a Christian businessman and his wife and four children. And they were meeting together, and they had also a Bible teacher from north of here, about an hour and a half, coming down on Sunday and teaching the Word of God. I was pastoring a little country church, and they came out to observe me, and I began meeting with this group and taught them the Bible, I think, on Tuesday nights. And then when I made a decision to leave the denomination that I was in at the time because of some of the liberalism, I joined this house group in Sebring. The Lord was laying on my heart to start a Bible church in Sebring, not a denominational church, but a Bible church. I'm not against denominational churches, by the way. In fact, when I used to teach our membership class in that room over there, and we'd have maybe 20, 25 people, we had 12 different denominations represented in that class. But what we were trying to do was just look at what the Scripture says about church, about life, about eternal life, about the coming of the Lord, and all those sorts of things. And we wrote a doctrinal statement, and we taught it. And let me go back a little bit back toward the beginning. As I met in the home with this home Bible group, probably late 1972, early 1970, middle 1973, later 1973, up into 1974, we brought the idea, well, let's start a church. I never thought I'd help start a church. Why don't I just join one? And why try to go through all the problems of starting a new church? But the Lord was laying on my heart. We had no independent Bible church in Sebring, so we began to discuss it and decided we would, as a group, go for this idea of starting a new church. And everybody was on board at the time. What would we call this new church? What would it reflect? Well, here's the scripture the Lord gave us in Acts 2:42. This was the new group of believers in Jerusalem, a brand new Jewish. By the way, the first church wasn't Protestant, it wasn't Catholic, it was Jewish. But these new believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need, and so on. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That would be the Bible. They devoted themselves to fellowship. That would be Bible fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That would be the communion or just more fellowship. And to prayer. Bible fellowship out of Acts chapter 2:42. Bible fellowship church. What is the church? It's not a denomination. It's not a crowd. It's not a ritual. It's the gathering of believers. And George and probably half know this, but and maybe some of you know too. The word church is the word iglesia. Well, that would be Spanish. Ek kalao is the Greek. Ek meaning out. Kaleo means to call. You are the called out ones. Called out of what? Called out of the world. This is Bible Fellowship Church. Called out of the world unto the Lord himself. So that was where Bible Fellowship came from. When we wrote the book, I didn't want it to be about me. I just don't didn't want that. I wanted it to be about the Lord God Almighty. And so let me just read this to you. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments. How unsearchable his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For, and this is my verse, this is very important to me, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. And that's what I wanted this to be about. And it's about God doing his work now for 50 years in the life of this congregation and the gathering of believers, not only here in Sebring, not only here in Highlands County, but throughout the world, because we have a great love for missions. We have a great love for the gospel. We have a great love that people come to know the Lord Jesus personally. So it's about him, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be for glory forever and ever. Thoughts, George, what do you want me to do? You want me to continue? Mm-hmm. How can I tell you this? We decided that to look for property. We met in the high school library for five years. I taught school for two of those years. I taught at Sebring Middle School for 2 years because we weren't a big enough congregation. We started out with 27 people, and we didn't have enough money to support a pastor with a family of six. So I taught school for 2 years, and then the board said, we need you as our pastor, and I really wanted somebody else to be the pastor. Let them have the fun and the stress of starting a church. But the Lord had it that he wanted me to be the pastor, so I gave in. I didn't want to fight with the Lord any longer. And we began pastoring full time. We met in high school library for 5 years. We made church every Sunday. We moved all the library tables over and just had one little pulpit up front, one little podium. Everybody was sitting just like you are in the library. And we had one service in the morning, and we met in homes in the evening in small groups. It was wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Everybody knew everybody, and everybody was growing, and it was a wonderful camaraderie in the Lord and in the Holy Spirit. So we met for 5 years, and then finally the law, just one quick story. When we went to the school board, I went to the school board, Highlands County School Board. I went to George Douglas, who was the head of the school board, and I said, what about using the high school facilities? He said, what I'd like for you to do is petition the school board for 90 days. And when we went there, Walter Harshman and I went, and we petitioned the school board. We were the last on the agenda. It was late, and one of the teachers there, who was known as Snuffy Smith, said, they'll never let you do this. There was a Jew, there was a Presbyterian, there was a Baptist, and there was somebody else I didn't know. This was the school board. And we were told they were going to tell us no. They voted unanimously yes for 90 days. I walked outside. I looked in the heavens. And this didn't happen, but it was like that. It was like God opened the heavens, looked down upon them, and said, look, I'm still in control. You can use the high school library for 90 days. 98 days became 5 years. We made church for 5 years in Sebring High School Library, and we filled it up. And the lawyer, the high school, the school board lawyer said, it's time for you to leave. So we had to make a decision. What are we going to do now? We're going to go and meet in another church building not used on Sunday. We're going to meet in a hotel lobby. Where are we going to do? Tommy Wall, the Jewish man who owned all this property, Tommy Wall was a multi-millionaire from South Florida. A good guy. I liked him so well. He sold us this property for what it cost him, $2,000 an acre. We bought 3 acres, added four. We should have added 10 or 20. But we did not know what was going to happen. Sebring was smaller then. There were 5 houses out here, only 5. No houses over there, only the little church on the corner across from the Y. And here we were, starting from scratch, a building program. We bought the acreage. We began to build. Without borrowing any money, we put up this metal structure. Looked more like a barn than a church. We invited, and a lot of what was being done by hand by the guys in this. They put up the walls. They put up the drywall. They put up the flooring. Guys in our own small group church, a growing church, but maybe we had 125 at the time. And so we were doing all the work by hand. We invited Tommy Wall, a Jewish man, wealthy, to come look at what we were doing. He and his guys walked in. One of his guys, who was a metal building builder, looked at this structure and said to Tommy, "We don't build them this good." We had a guy from Baxley, Georgia, named Mr. Upchurch, who had done buildings for the SIM in Africa. But he was from Georgia, and we brought him down here to build this building. And Tommy's guys were amazed at how well this was built. Later, we invited Tommy and his wife, Marge, to sit right up here when we dedicated this building to the Lord. They loved it. Tommy was dig it out of the ground, work hard. That's Tommy, the Jewish guy, who was a liberal Jew, not really into the Lord. His wife just loved Bible Fellowship Church. Every time she'd go by here and see all the cars out front, she was amazed. I got to witness to Tommy and to Marge one day out of the Bible. I went to visit them. And he said to me, "You're an unusual person." Oh, my goodness. And I said to Marge, I said, "Do you have any Bibles?" She said, "Yeah." She brought me a stack of Bibles. One of their sons, their wayward Jewish son, David, had come to know the Lord. And evidently he had witnessed to his parents and gave them each Bibles. So they had Bibles. So where do you take a Jew? You take him to Isaiah 53, you read it, about the suffering of our Lord, about his death, about his resurrection. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Marge says to me, "That's out of the New Testament, isn't it?" I said, "No, Marge, that's out of the Old Testament. That's out of the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ." Whether she had accepted Christ through her David son's witness, I have no idea. But she was so open. Now, Tommy said to me, "Well, there's got to be a God. Just look out the window at the woods and everything." But I don't know. He said, "I don't like Judaism. I don't like whatever. But I don't know if he ever came to faith. But I just loved him so much." And so anyway, we bought 4 acres from him. We built this building. Before we got into it, we had outgrown it. So we had to build this addition over here. Again, we did it by hand. As the Lord brought the money in, we paid for it. Didn't borrow from anyone. Do you remember Don and Laura Lamb? He just passed away. Don did. Well, Laura, I met her at the bank downtown. I didn't know her. This is before they came to Bible Fellowship Church. And I walked in, went chatted with her. And I think she was a loan officer. And I just said, "We at Bible Fellowship Church are just not going to borrow any money. We're going to, as the Lord provides, we're going to bring it in." And I think we're going to continue that way as we come to commitment in this next month or so. We want the Lord to provide for us. And he did in a marvelous way. But I told Laura Lamb, I said, and I didn't know Laura Lamb, I said, "We're not going to borrow any money." For some reason, that got into her soul. And she never forgot it. And she and Donald ended up coming to church at Bible Fellowship Church. Well, anyway, that's part of the history. We were here until the late 1990s, and we'd outgrown this. We'd gone to 2 services. Overflow. These were rooms that didn't have any walls. This whole section here was Sunday school classes and then overflow for church. And then we'd pull the curtains to do Sunday school. So we had to have that room for overflow. Those rooms back there were for fellowship. Well, we outgrew those rooms back there for fellowship before we got into them. We'd outgrown them. But the Lord was kept blessing us, and just, we weren't after people. We weren't after money. We were just sharing Christ with people. The best way people come to know church is through other people who invite them. That's the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with evangelistic services and nothing wrong with missionary conferences. Those are all well and good. But what really comes through to people is the way we treat them and how we operate with them and so on and so forth. We had to add staff. At first, I think I was the janitor and the custodian and a deacon. And nobody ever got me deacon of the month, but I was. Anyway, so we had to add staff. And finally, the board agreed to have a secretary. And I had my office at home, but we built one in the new wing over here. So I was on the church property. And we began to add staff. Then we needed a youth pastor. We need someone to help with the youth and families. So we hired a fellow to do that with us. And then the church continued to grow. We had to have a Sunday school superintendent. Somebody came to me and said, "We need a vacation Bible school." I said, "Okay, you do it." She looked at me. "What? No, you do it. I can't do all of this. I'm not supposed to do all this. God has gifted all of us in some way to serve him." And so she took over Vacation Bible School, at least for 1 year. But people began to come and get involved and began to share ministry. And our staff continued to grow. It had to. We formed an elder board. We didn't have an elder board. How do you come up with a doctrinal statement or an elder board and a deacons and all that? You go to the book of Acts and you read what God has done. God had already set it out for us. We didn't have to do it. The early church had to go through all this. There were 3,000 born again on one day, and then 5,000. I mean, the church was growing in the book of Acts. And how do you handle all the problems that go with growth? And I'm a young guy. I mean, I was a young guy then. I'm like 29, 30 years old. I had not been through that process. But the process I had gone through, I grew up in a church. I am grateful to have grown up in church. Church wasn't foreign to me. I wasn't born again out of the world and went to seminary. I had a background of church. I knew what it meant to have a pastor who loved the Lord and loved his word. By the way, I married my pastor's daughter, for those of you who didn't know that. So she has been in church all her life. But she said she'd never marry a pastor, but somehow that didn't work out. Church began to grow, and we needed to move out of this building. And so, again, the Lord laid it on our hearts to add this new building over here. And that was a long-term process. But the joy of it, it was paid for. Just like the 20 acres and the two houses on Longview is all paid for because people have been giving. By the way, our young people are young. We have a lot of new young families, and their children need to learn to give. It's a matter of faith. It's not a matter of fear. It was time. I'm skipping over. It was time for me to retire. We went through. We added various staff members over the years. Lord has always sent us leadership. It's amazing, especially on the Board of Elders. That means so much to me, to trust him for leadership. And so it was time. I gave the board a year and a half before I retired. I never wanted this church to be known as Eugene Bankston's church. That's not where I'm coming from. And so the Lord gave us leadership. We had a wonderful group of elders at the time. And it was a year and a half. I was going to be 66, so it's time for me to retire, pass on. So I gave the board a year and a half. They began to do their search. I don't think I was on the board at that time. They began to do their research and so on, and figure out taking resumes and all that. The night that they selected the pastor, they were not in unity, and we had formed in our church polity that the board would always vote in unity. If there were seven on the board and one didn't see it that way, we didn't outvote him. We said, "Lord, we'll wait till you bring him or bring us all to oneness." You know this, but I'm going to ask you a question. Is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in unity? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All the time. They're unified. I've often wondered what it would have been like to listen to the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son, the three of them before Jesus came to earth, how they decided who was going to come down here. God had already been down here. Well, Jesus had too, in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit had worked among them. But who was going to become a man? Out of those three beings, who was going to be the man? Who was going to be a human? But none of that's God. That would have been interesting to hear if they had a discussion, which I don't know. But anyway, we wanted unity on our board, I should say, and we always worked under those plans. That night, that board got down on their knees in disunity, held hands around the table, came to unity, got up, and selected Pastor Todd to be our next pastor. Praise the Lord. Not because he's my son-in-law, because those guys were in unity. And I think there was weeping, there was brokenness, there was a work of God. Not too long after that, one of the leaders of the church, I don't think he was on the board at the time, he wasn't, but he came to me and sitting right over there, where we ate just a while ago, and he said to me, "Eugene, we're going to lose people." Now he said, "Eugene, I'm afraid we're going to lose people." Listen, I'd been at this since I was 21. God has been my Savior. Jesus has been my Savior since I was 7. I've trusted Him as my daddy. My Heavenly Father is my daddy since I was 10 years old. Am I going to live in fear? No. No, I'm not going to do that. I said to this man, I said, did you hear what you just said? I'm afraid. And this was a godly man, a wise man, an older man. I'm afraid we're going to lose people. I took his hands. We sat across from each other. I grabbed him real tight. And I said, "You used the word fear." I said, "We're not going to be afraid." I said, those men were on their feet, on their knees, got up, unified, and God selected this man. I didn't. You didn't. God did. And I grabbed him and we prayed. That was on Wednesday night. Sunday morning, he walked up to me, stuck out his hand, and said, "Thank you." That's all he said. And I knew what he meant. God selected Todd Patterson to be our pastor. Now, our pastor's perfect. No, is this one better than the last one? Is the last one better than this one? You can go through all that stuff. All that stuff. Did some people leave? Of course. Did some people come? Yeah, more people came than left. That's the way it is. That's okay. That's okay. Anyway, we have a wonderful church, a wonderful pastor. We love missions. I hope that never ends. It can end. We are a mission-minded church. We want to raise our young people, that God would call some of our young people to Himself and send them around the world. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's awesome. It's wonderful. So we're raising these babies up for the Lord Jesus. And hopefully the God will call them to ministry, whether it's full-time ministry someplace here or someplace there, or it's just being the fantastic mothers that our daughters are. Our daughters have raised our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren for the Lord. And some of them are in full-time ministry and some of them are not. Well, I need to stop. George, talk to us.
This book is about the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
This book writes the history, the story of Bible Fellowship Church, from a handful of people that met in a home to what we see today. And it's about changed lives. This church is about changing lives for the glory of God. Think about people like Luke Brady, Jordan Terrell, Rachel Arnold. These are young people that came through the youth group that now serve the Lord full time. And so we thank God for that. There are churches in this town that would love to have our children's ministry.
Oh my.
They would love to have our youth ministry. But we need the bigger facilities. So this book is not finished. The story of this church is not finished. This book represents phase one, phase two, and phase three. And we're looking for now for phase four as we press ahead. Here's something that we wrote in the book. What is the future of Bible Fellowship Church? This church aspires to be in the will of God and continue to grow and expand as people are one to Christ and are discipled and come to maturity. The church will continue to be a voice in the community and draw many to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church motto, Save the Lost and Grow the Saved, will continue to challenge the church to pray and work for the glory of God and the advancement of the people of the church. As the church moves ahead, the exact direction will be determined by the Lord, and the elders and members pray and ask God to reveal His will for us in the church. What is the next step? Bible Fellowship Church has always had prayer as a priority of the church. When the elders decided to look for a new piece of land to build a new church, it meant that the decision had to be bathed in prayer. The Record of Growth Challenge, whereby the congregation joined in a prayer group that was significantly focused on the next phase of the church ministry, was evident. As Pastor Eugene said, we're also a missions-minded church. If you look at the Board of Elders, four of us were career missionaries on the Board of Elders. Pastor Todd and Susan spent 10 years in South Africa. Andy and Gwen spent 11 years in Paraguay. I spent 30 years in Nigeria. And Ken Clay spent 30 years full-time with SIM. We're a missions-minded group of elders, and we thank God for that. Again, this is a story of God's faithfulness to
Amen.
Us as a congregation.
Yeah.
And the story is not over yet, and we ask you to be in prayer for the next phase of the church.
Amen. Yeah, let me just add one more thought, and then we can close here. When you're sitting on a board of elders, which I did for many years, and we want to be in unity, and not everybody sees it the same way, and that's okay, that's just normal. But you don't want to get in fights and arguments and try to push your agenda over other people's agenda. There was one fellow on the board at the time who struggled with sending money to missionaries overseas when he thought we ought to be doing something at home to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ here. That's understandable. That's understandable. But as we continue to raise our missionary giving as a church, God just continued to bless His ministry like crazy. We didn't want to be unbalanced in our focus. Yes, we want to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ in Highlands County. And we are. Somehow you got here. Maybe you were perhaps already saved, or somehow you got the Bible Fellowship Church, saved or unsaved, but at least you're here at this point. But God continues not simply to bring people out of other churches here. By the way, I told our people at the very beginning, we're not here to capture people who go to other churches. That's not what we're about. And I had to say over and over and over again, this is not stealing people from other churches. That's not what we're about. If God sends them here, that's one reason, but we're just not out there proselyting people to leave their churches to come here. That's not what it was about. Bible Fellowship Church, through God Almighty and the Holy Spirit, He brings the people here, and that's wonderful. But this man who was struggling with, why are we sending so money out of the country to these missionaries overseas, at present, he's part of the overseas missionary ministry, which is incredible. So God has a way of bringing us together in unity. We are the called out ones. There's nothing like this fellowship right here. There's nothing like it within the body of Christ. Nowhere on earth in any other religion do they have what this is here. You have God Almighty dwelling in you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And because of that, we are united in a wonderful way. We're no better than any other church. That's not what this is about. We can fellowship with people who are born-again believers all over this world, regardless of where they gather for fellowship. But there's nothing like Christian fellowship anywhere on earth. It's just not there, because we're in the process of living out our faith in the Lord Jesus and he makes this possible. This is Bible. Keep praying that the Bible will always be the central doctrine for our body of Christ. That is our wisdom. That is our God through the Holy Spirit teaching us, guiding us, moving us forward as individuals and as a body of believers. Don't forsake the fellowship. I'm glad you're here today. This is just part of the fellowship of believers. And as we get older and we get more frail, we're going to have to make an effort to continue in fellowship. When we were under the pandemic, we had to fellowship by Zoom. And then, what do I know about Zoom? Mm-hmm. But I taught a Bible class on Sunday morning on Zoom for months before, you know, and not even knowing how to do it. But we managed, and it was a precious time. But there's nothing more precious than this right here, being together. Bible Fellowship Church, called out ones unto the Lord Jesus. That's what you are, out of the world, in the world, but called out of it to serve the Lord.
Should we take any questions?
Sure, ask for them.
I don't know if anybody might have a question or two about what we've shared.
If anything comes to your mind, don't be afraid to ask about anything.
Donna.
I don't have a question. I just think it was very well presented. I learned a lot today, and I'm just pleased that I'm here.
Thank you. We're happy that you're here also.
Yeah. I think the final thing I would say is be sure to pray for your leadership. Mm-hmm. Always pray for your leadership, your pastors, your elders, your deacons, your administration committee. Very, very important. Yetta, would you like to add to what's being said, dear? You really would, but you don't want to.
Here's Donna over there.
Okay.
Okay, Donna.
Well, I just want to say this was right after COVID, the very first Sunday. And it was such a comfort, you know, after going through COVID. And Nancy Galley and I, of course, I live right behind the church here. So we would come over here and we would walk and pray and sing.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You know, especially on Sundays, we would come over here. And it was just a precious time. But when we could see, that first time to see Pastor Todd and Pastor Eugene, I'll never forget that message. And it was about not fearing, you know, coming out of COVID. And you know how easy it was to fear. But they shared the word, the scriptures about not fearing. I tried to find my notes, but I couldn't find them. But I didn't leave enough time to look through. But it was such a comfort to see a son-in-law and the father-in-law. What a testimony that was to see the two of you there in that message. And then the next Sunday, it was the worship team out on that land. Mm-hmm. I mean, such a visual. My friend Sally, she was here. And she lives in one of those homes. And when she saw that on Zoom, she ran out of her house, ran to the backyard to try to see them, you know, not realizing that this was pre-recorded, you know. But it's such a witness to see family, you know, together serving in our generations. We have all these different generations, you know, the older serving the younger. Mm-hmm. And it's a real blessing to be
Amen.
Here. And I thank you for all the many serving hours that you have put into this so that we could enjoy this time to be here. It's such a privilege to be in this family. So all our sisters and brothers in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So many friends. Mm-hmm. So we thank you.
Yeah.
Would you pray the blessing
sure,
over us?
Sure. Let me read this again and then close it. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah, our Father. Amen to you. And all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.